Well, let me jump on the right side way monologue, the opening monologue for the day. And so last night's so-called debate with Trump and Harris, well, it's in the can. All right. It went a full 12 rounds. And there were winning moments and there were losing moments on both sides. But there were also some missed opportunities. And there was one glaring omission that the supposedly fully unbiased moderators from ABC just passed right over. But to really outline what I'm referring to, let me step off into some good memories for a minute. Go with me here. Warm the cockles of your little ruffian hearts. Just let's go to a happier place for a minute. So when I was a kid, one of the safe places in life, one of my favorite sanctuaries of all time, it was my granny's house. All of us cousins, we all called her granny. Granddaddy was a steel worker in Birmingham. They built a little two-bedroom house in an old section of West Birmingham called Wylam back in the 1940s, and they lived there until the day they died. My granny met my granddaddy on a blind date in the 30s, and a week later they eloped and they were married until granddaddy passed away almost 50 years later. My granny's house was special. There was no central heater air, just a couple of window units and some floor fans, a central furnace in the main room that came up through the floor. It never seemed to matter, though. In all the years at Granny's house, there was always a drawer that had candy in it. There's always new comic books she picked up at the store for all of us cousins and kept them on a shelf in the little hall closet. If she knew I was coming, it was a sure thing that when I got there, she'd either have a Mississippi mud cake or a pecan pie sitting on the back porch. And sometimes both. Every year at Christmas, my granny, she'd lay out the Sears and Roebuck Christmas wish list catalog. And all us cousins, we'd all mark something in it that we wanted. I found out later on she was on a fixed income and sometimes got government cheese, but I never knew it because there was always that gift at Christmas that came out of the Sears catalog that I'd marked. I ran around that backyard at Granny's house with my cousins picking up pecans from the two trees that my dad and my uncle helped plant when they were young. And there were always cap guns and army soldiers and toy cars in the dirt floor basement where she kept all of her canning supplies. In the evenings, we'd sit outside on the glider on the front porch, talk about how things were and where things used to be. And we shuck corn and split peas and drink coffee and just visit a spell. And the meals. Oh, man, the meals. Granny would fix up some cream corn and cornbread or chicken and dumplings or fried chicken. And there was always my favorite request, a fried okra. And she cooked her fried okra in an ancient black wrought iron skillet that crackled when you bit into it. And to this day, nobody can make fried okra like my granny. It was a special place. And when I got to where I could drive, there's only one place that I would actually drive out of town to as a teenager, and that was my granny's house. When I was 17, three of my best friends and I decided we were going to Six Flags over Georgia, and Dad let us go, and even though another hour and a half of the car to get home wouldn't have been too hard, we decided we were all going to my granny's house. And we did. Three other nasty, sweaty teenage boys showed up with me, spent the night, she made us all eggs and bacon and toast, and it was like there was four grandsons there that day. Everybody ought to have a granny. Everybody ought to have a granny's house. Now, I will say that there was a time when I learned some things that shocked me. Like, for instance, one time I saw granny put a store-bought pie crust up in the refrigerator. It was a shock. How can this be? Another time I realized that the neighbor lady who came over to do her hair every so often actually colored it so that what I thought was not gray really was gray. How can this be? But the biggest shock of all was one day later in her years when I found frozen okra in the freezer. Frozen okra! My wife still laughs at the shock and dismay when I found out that the legendary fried okra was not always fresh from the farmer's market. So it's an inside joke in the family still. But yet, really nothing had changed. Just image in my mind for a minute, and then we laughed and she fixed some fried okra and it was as good as always. But listen, let me ask you this. You can sort of get the sentiment, right? You can tell where I am. That was a special place, and she was a special woman, and she has a special place in my heart. But what if I had looked at my granny, after a lifetime of love, security, and joyful memories, that I had just looked at her and said, "That's it. Frozen okra, you're out of my life. I can't stand for this. I don't need you anymore. You aren't what I thought you were." Who does that? Not me. My granny could have served me shards of broken glass, and I would have eaten it like a royal feast. My granny was precious, not because of what she cooked or what she gave or what she looked like. She was special because she was my granny. Now, I say all this because last night there was a glaring omission in the debate between Trump and Harris. Because not one of those moderators dared to ask Kamala Harris to address why she was all in for Joe Biden for so long and then just cast him aside when she didn't need him anymore. All right, is this a stretch on my part? I don't think so. Referencing my granny and then talking about the way she treated Joe Biden? You can see, you can tell a lot about a person's character by how they treat those who they say they care about. Think about it. Kamala didn't need Joe. She just needed to use Joe. She propped him up past the point that he could effectively do the job, and then when it became obvious that everyone else could see what she already really knew, she cast him aside. Has anyone yet heard her say anything about how awkward it is to suddenly have to step into his role as the candidate for president when she had been talking about what a great job he's been doing? No. Has anyone heard her say, "This is really hard for me because I love Joe"? No. No one's heard her say, "I didn't see this coming, but I'll rise to the occasion"? No. Nothing remotely sounds like she's even feeling the impact of the fact that a man who has been a staple in her party for decades is suddenly out and she's been thrust in. No, because in the depth of her soul, there was never a need to support Joe Biden. There was only a need by Kamala Harris to use Joe Biden to get what she wanted. And when the day came that other people rushed to her side to help her shuck him out the door, she stepped in gleefully and forgot that he even existed. Who does that? Nelson Mandela once said, "A society that does not value its older people denies its roots and endangers its future." So lost in all the policymaking, debate prep, and media blasts and political kabuki theater is a simple fact that Kamala Harris will apparently use people, even her elders, to get whatever she wants and then cast them aside when they're no longer convenient or even needed. And that level of callous indifference, that is not the kind of personality that I want making decisions for me and mine. That is the kind of person that sees people as collateral damage for the sake of their agenda. That's the kind of person who views life as expendable, people as baggage. That's the kind of person who lets good people become her stepping stones to get whatever she wants for herself. This is classic narcissism. It is vacuous. It is dangerous. So make no mistake, I'm no fan of Joe Biden. I also don't have a history of claiming him as my own. I've never pretended in public that he's my mentor. I've never then forgotten him or even cast him off when it became expedient to my own interest, but Kamala Harris, she has. And I guarantee you she'd do it to her granny, too, if she had one. So look, maybe the analogy of my granny's house is a stretch, I don't know. But my point is, if you love someone and claim to cherish their memory and value the time you had with them, and then you suddenly cast them aside when it suits you, well, then in my opinion, you're a liar from the day one, and people mean nothing to you. And here she is, running for president. And that's a wrap for the Right Side Way. Yeah. I mean, there's the bottom line. I kept looking at it and I kept thinking. I even told Charlene, I said, "You know, I don't have any love for Joe Biden, but I'm starting to feel sorry for him. Can you imagine being treated like that in public? I mean, just cast off because you are no longer convenient." And that's what she's done. And that's the person now who wants to be in charge of decisions that affect us. It ain't right. Who does that? Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.